Blog Talk Radio.
I know you've been hurting, pain and love is all the same in your eyes. So baby, take a chance to really let me show you. And if you open up, I'll teach you how to love for life. Yeah.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome on to the show. I am your host, Anna Platt, and tonight we're going to be joined by a couple young ladies to discuss their literary works and tell us a little bit about themselves. Our first half hour, we will be joined by Ms. Tadequa Johnson. She is actually the author of Love in a Carry-On Bag, so we're going to get to talk to her in a few moments and get to know her. And then in the second half, we'll be talking to authors Patricia A. Brightwell and Fatima Albasser Johnson. They're the author of A Generation of Curses. So we'll be arguing with them in the second hour. But right now, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest, Ms. Tadequa Johnson. Ms. Johnson, if you can hear me, say hello.
Yes, hello, Anna. Thank you so much for having me on the show tonight. I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you. You sound excited.
Yes.
I like the energy. I like the energy. So before we get started on your novel, Love in a Carry-On Bag, let's get to know a little bit about the author herself. So tell us a little bit about where you're from, a little background about you before your literary journey, before you get into writing.
Okay. All right. Well, like you said, I'm Sadiqua Johnson. I am the author of Love in a Carry-On Bag, and I have been toting around this book for over 10 years, if you can believe it. I started off as a publicist. I was a publicist at Scholastic for a few years, and I worked with J.K. Rowling, who's the author of the famous Harry Potter books. And so I worked with her way before she, you know, was the big millionaire, billionaire sensation that she is now. And from there, I went on to Putnam and Riverhead, and I worked with T.D. Jakes. I worked with Amy Tan. I worked with a lot of really high-profile authors, Rebecca Walker, Michael Datcher, B.B. Moore Campbell. And it was a really awesome journey. I got into publishing because I've always wanted to kind of be a writer. And so I thought, let me learn the business so that when it's my turn to be, you know, the published author, I would know what I was getting myself into. Nobody could kind of pull the wool over my eyes, and I would really understand that the business that I was in. And so I worked for about 5 or 6 years and then got married. My husband and I started off in a long-distance relationship, which is what Love in a Carry On Bag is kind of based on to a small degree. We started long distance. The book is long distance, but that's kind of where it ends because, you know, when you write fiction, you kind of start with something that you know, and then the story just sort of takes over. So I got married and told my husband, you know, I really want to finish this book. I want to, you know, stay home with the children, and that's what I did. And so I stayed home. I had my first child, and I wrote while he napped and, you know, while he was sleeping and in between feedings. And then I had a second child, and I did the same thing. And then I had a third child. And so finally, once I sent her off to nursery school, I was like, okay, it's really time for me to get this book off my plate. And so the book that you have is about the 9th draft of Love in a Carry-On Bag. So I've been at it for a long time.
Wow. Wow, that's interesting to have so many great authors under your belt that you had the pleasure to work with before you actually sat down to do your own work. So that's a great experience, you know, to start off with, because some people are winging it. We have, you know, some people have nobody to lean on or no guide, no direction. So that is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, it was a really good experience. It was an awesome, you know, it was awesome to learn from them. And a lot of times they didn't know that I was a writer, you know, but I would just kind of pick their brains in the car and just try and get a feel for their schedule and ask little questions and just kind of pay attention. And I did pick up a lot over the years.
So how did you come up with the actual title of the book?
Well, the title "Love in a Carry-On Bag" kind of came up in the car because my husband, I'm from Philadelphia. We live now in the New Jersey area, but he is from the D.C. area, and we would always be traveling back and forth visiting his family. And the book was, you know, a long distance relationship. So one of the ideas I had was 95 South, and so I was like, oh, 95 South, because we're always on this highway, you know, Eric and Warren back and forth. That's the way they travel to see each other. The book takes place in New York and D.C. But then there was a book that came out called Driving Dirty on 95 South as I was, like, on draft 5. And I'm like, dang, she took my title. So I had to just keep at it. And one day my husband just said, what about, you know, we were like, love, you know, carry-on bag, luggage, love and luggage. He was like, what about love and a carry-on handbag? And then when I started to work with my editor, we just dropped the hand and kept it love in a carry-on bag.
Wow.
So I had to give my husband the credit for the title.
So that's a good job. It's a catchy title. Very catchy title.
Thank you. I was kind of going for that The Devil Wears Prada kind of feel, you know, like that, like, racy, sexy story. So good. I'm so glad you like it.
Yeah, you hit the mark. You definitely hit the mark. Okay. So take us in between the pages of Love in a Carry-On Bag. Tell us a little bit about your main character, Miss Erica Shaw.
Oh, Erica. I love Erica. She is a very high-strung publicist who will pretty much do anything to get to the top. She wants to be one of the highest ranking African American women in publishing. And so she doesn't come from a lot. She doesn't, you know, come from a very rich background. And so she really wants to put some distance between the way she was raised and who she wants to perceive, who she wants people to perceive her as, and who she wants to be in the workplace. So she's a hard worker, but she is definitely someone who we can all identify with, because in addition to trying to pull herself up, you know, she's pulling herself up the ladder, and she has one foot dangling, and all her family members are pulling on that one little foot dangling, trying to get a little piece of her. And so she has a lot to balance. In addition to being in this relationship with Warren, who is this sexy jazz musician, he plays the trumpet, and every time he walks onto the page for me, my heart just starts beating. I love him so much because he's such a very complex cat. And you have to fall in love with your leading man in order to write him, right? You know, you got to. But exactly. I love him. You do, right? And so to see him on stage and to be so into his instrument and, you know, the way he loves Erica Hart, but he has all these other things going on. I would say the story is a cross between, you know, a Love Jones and a Mo Better Blues. That's kind of the best way to describe it.
So what made you decide to give him that I guess, job as a jazz musician? Or what gets you to say, I'm going to make him a musician?
I think I'm very attracted to musicians because of the passion that they have for creating beauty. I kind of see myself in them. I think I always wish I had, like, some sort of musical talent. So whenever I'm out at a jazz club or I'm out at a live show, I love the way musicians just are completely 100% in the moment. They're playing for themselves. They're caught up. They're sweating. You know, they're just, like, they're just feeling it. And I love that about them. And that was very interesting to me. And so I really wanted to recreate that and to be able to explore that for myself and to kind of be in that world. And it was so awesome. It was really exciting. I listened to a lot of jazz music when I wrote Warren's scenes. I listened to a lot of Terrence Blanchard and Wynton Marsalis, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, to really get my mind into that feel of what it was like to be, you know, a musical genius. And he was a lot of fun to write. He was, you know, it was awesome.
Wow. So tell us real quick, when you said that it took you actually a while to write the book. When you were writing the book, what goal did you have? Did you know that you were writing to publish, or you were writing just to get the story out?
I always wanted to be published. That was always my dream, and that's why I was working in publishing too, because I wanted, like I said, to learn the business so that when I was actually on the other side of the table, because being a publicist, you're in charge of authors. You take care of them. You make sure that they have their pens and their drinks and their favorite peppermints, and, you know, they arrive in Dallas on time for their interview with the Dallas Morning News. It's like you keep their schedule. You keep them on track. And I wanted to know what was going on when it was time for somebody to keep me on track. And I, you know, I had a few connections in the business, and, you know, over the years, I pitched a few agents. I had two different agents at two different times that pitched me and tried to get me publishing deals. And the most recent one was a very prominent agent in New York City. And it just so happens that as she was pitching me, that was around the time when Borders, you know, was going out of business. And I don't know if your listeners knows, but Borders was responsible for, you know, 85% to 90% of the African American titles. So when they crashed, it was like, okay, who's gonna push our stories? Who's gonna distribute our books? And it was a big shakeup in the publishing industry. And so it was one editor who wanted to buy my book, and her publisher was like, you know what, things are a little crazy now, we're going to have to pass. And so my agent said to me, she was like, maybe we'll take a break for about 6 months, let's let things cool down, and then we'll go back at it. But, you know, at this point now, it's been 10 years. And, you know, everyone in my family is looking at me like, well, why are you waiting? Like, let's just, you know, let's just figure out how to do this thing ourselves. But that was never my dream. And when I had to say yes to it, you know, it took a little bit of, you know, getting used to. But the moment I said, okay, let's do it, things started to fall in place. My husband had said to me, he said, so, what, you know, what's the big deal? You know, because he owns his own business. My father has a business. So I come from people who know how to get things going. So they couldn't understand why I was so reluctant to just go out on my own. And he said to me, he said, so, you know, what's the problem? Like, what is it that you want from a big publishing house? And I'm like, well, you know, I want an editor. And he's like, well, why don't we just hire an editor? And Anna, when I say the thought had never occurred to me, like the thought of hiring an editor had never occurred to me. And once he said that, I'm like, yeah, it never, right? It never occurred to me. And so, you know, we found an awesome editor, my editor, Cherise Fisher. We, you know, hired her and got to work. And like they say, the rest is history. Once I said yes to it, every single thing I needed started to fall into place. And it was almost like God was waiting for me to say yes so that he can just throw all the blessings on me. And things have been like nonstop for the last year. You know, once I opened my heart and said, okay, what direction am I supposed to go into? All right, I'll do it.
Right,
and it's been great.
You have that traditional publishing house dream, never thinking, okay, I can self-publish and get things done on my own terms, do things the way I want to do them, and I'm reaping all of my benefits because I get all of my money. I don't have to pay anybody to do anything. So The self-publishing route may not have been the idea of dream, but Turned out to be a better route for you, but right?
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, I guess I just didn't know enough about it because, like you said, I did come from a traditional publishing house, so really that was my world, and that was really all I knew. And so it was like, oh, I got to learn all this. I got to do all this. Are you serious? Like, I just, you know, I really wanted to just say, I'm here. Here's my book. Everybody take care of me, and that didn't happen, and now I've really learned how to take care of myself.
So what would you advise another up-and-coming author to take the self-publishing route since you already have completed that task? Or would you really, really say, wait it out, get an agent, get someone that's going to try to wait for that book deal? Or would you actually recommend that they take the self-publishing route?
I think it depends on what type of person it is, because what I'm finding about working independently on my own is that this is a full-time job, and that I swear Rick Ross is Every Day I'm Hustling. I swear that's my theme song because I'm wearing so many hats right now, and I think it takes a certain person to do that. Like, you have to be able to be the sales and the marketing and the publicist, and you have to be able to do all those things, and if that's not you, then you might not want to go. You might not want to go the self-publishing route. It might be too much for you to do. So I definitely think it depends on what your personality is. It depends on what your financial situation is, because my experience self-publishing is not all the way cheap. I mean, you can do it cheap, but my thought was I wanted to make my book look as professional as Simon Schuster, you know, Simon & Schuster or HarperCollins. I didn't want you to know the difference. I felt like if I was going to do it independently, you were going to be able to see, you know, how much work I put into it. So I think it really depends on, you know, where you're coming from, what type of finances you have to start your business with, and if you really are that type of person who can wear all those hats.
Right. And you do have a beautiful cover, I might add, cover is very, very nice. I'm very impressed with it. It looks beautiful.
Thank you.
And also aspiring authors out there who may be looking into self-publishing or being published, either way go, I just want to add, no matter if you go through a traditional publisher or if you self-publish, you still in control of marketing, because nobody's going to promote your book the way you will, no matter who you're with. You still have to hustle every day to make sure readers are getting reading your book. Because people, just because if you go through randomized, doesn't mean that people across the world don't know you. You still have to pump that book.
Absolutely.
So
and actually, and wait, just one second, Anna. And just the difference is now, the way it was 8, 9, 10 years ago when I was actually working in the business, it wasn't as much work on the author. But I think with everything that's shifting, with the economy, it is, even if you walk in with a deal, you are doing a lot of the work, which that was not the case, you know, when I actually worked under a publishing house. We did everything for our authors. I mean, everything. And things have really changed over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's not like back in the day, because we had Ms. Rosalind McMillan on one show, and, you know, she's been in the biz now for a while, and she was saying how when she got signed, they were signing African-American authors left and right.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, it was a year, around the time when we had even Harris, Eric Jerome Dickey, and Terry McMillan, all black authors were coming up, so they were taking us Hannibal Fitch, you know, but now it's not like that anymore. It's the opportunity. It's not that broad anymore.
The opportunity is non-existent right now. Like, in order to get a publishing deal, I mean, you got to know a bunch of people, but you also have to have, I mean, you have to come with so many credentials at this point. Like, you have to have wrote for, like, Essence magazine for 20 years and you're doing a celebrity project or something like that. But just good just good fiction stories like you and I are writing, like, it's not really happening.
Right. You're definitely right. So tell me, what type of feedback have you been getting? And I always ask my the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, I want to know the negative also, whereas the positive goes. We can't please everybody in our work. You know, I always have somebody that might frown on it. But what are some of the feedback have you been getting from readers? What have readers been saying to you?
Yeah, well, my book actually, the e-book pubbed on Tuesday, and the paperback book pubs on the 20th. But we have had private parties in a few cities the last 2-3 weeks, and we've sold a good amount of books. So far, we've sold over 200 books in 2 weeks that we've been out hustling. And people are emailing me and Facebooking me. I'm so mad at you. I stayed up all night reading your book. I finished in 2 days. You know, so the feedback has been phenomenal, which for me is almost a little surprising because I have been at this for so long and I've experienced so much rejection, like because I pitched agents and I pitched editors and everybody kept telling me no. And so for people to actually have my product in their hand and read it and love it, it's like, oh, wow. You know, it's an incredible feeling. So far, so good. I have to say it's been a pretty good experience.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. And I know this book just released. I know it's really new, but are you working on any new novels? Are you back to writing, or are you focusing on just promoting this book? Mm-hmm.
Well, I started my second novel probably 2 or 3 years ago because, you know, when I was writing Love in a Carry-On Bag, I kept thinking I was finished. And so I'll be like, oh, draft 4, okay, I'm finished. So let me go in and start my new project. And then something will happen. It's like, oh, you're not finished. You need to do another draft or, you know. And so I have about 200 pages just over the years just kind of fiddling and fooling with my second book. But I know I want to write a story about this woman who she has a secret that her husband doesn't know when she gets married. So the secret is kind of like this big thing, and she should have told him, but she never did. And so I kind of want to deal with that. And then I want to deal with I love writing love in this story, Love in a Carry-On Bag. The most beautiful thing to me is to write the story of a man and a woman loving each other, especially African-American love. And even though it's twists and turns and all these different things going on, how do you keep that good black love together? And so I want to bring that into an actual marriage with a family. I think one of the children may have a genetic disease, and how they deal with that, how they keep the marriage together, and also just her feeling the sense of drowning. Because, you know, a lot of times we go into parenthood and we think, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And then when you get there, it so does not look like the way it did on TV. So what do? You can't give them that.
Exactly.
Right?
It is not like it is on TV. And you have days when you love your kids, but you want to choke the hell out of them.
I just went through that tonight. I said, listen, you guys need to be in bed. I have 3 children. 7:40. If anybody gets out this bed tonight, it's going to be a problem. You know what I'm saying? So, I go through it. And I think what we don't do as mothers is I think that we're not 100% honest about how we always feel. And so I really want this character to say what her inside voice is thinking. You know that inside voice, the one that you keep to yourself. I want this character actually, you know, I want readers to feel it and know how she feels about being, you know, all these different things for people. And I think right now the book is called Second because she's always second in line. She has to do all these different things. She has this secret. She has this marriage. She has these kids, you know, and she has this career that she can't get off the ground because she has all this stuff going on. And so, you know, it's a work in progress. But I think once I sit down and close my door, it should, I hope, Anna, cross your fingers, it don't take me 10 years to write another book. I hope it comes a lot faster than the first one.
Yeah, you have to. You know what? I can tell you, not like I'm an old author because I've only been published since 2008. I haven't been in the business too long. But I will be releasing my 5th novel.
Yes.
April.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So, I can't even imagine.
And you will get there. I'm telling you, this is my word of advice to any new author. You have to set aside a block of time where you're going to write at least, if you say, I'm going to write 50,000 words this week or 10,000 words a day. You have to sit down and really dedicate your time to your project to get it done. You can't keep putting everything else ahead of it. It's like, even if you just don't even pick a number of words you want to write, just say, I'm going to spend 2 hours an evening on my novel. Mm-hmm. Even whether you are writing more, reading what you already have, but you have to dedicate that time to that novel in order to finish it. You have to.
Yeah. I do. I think right now is really tricky because I am wearing so many hats and I'm promoting and I think because I'm still, for the most part, learning a certain side of the business that I didn't know, that takes up a majority of my time. But I think once Love in a Carry-On Bag really gets its wings and I feel comfortable with, you know, the way it's going, then I think that's when I'm going to say, all right, let me sit and focus. Because I really, my goal is to have my second novel out by spring of 2014, which means I got to start writing it at some point. So I got the ideas, the characters, they go to bed with me at night, they, you know, they wake up with me, they're always whispering in my ear, but it's just a matter of me actually saying, okay, right now is my time to focus, and now, you know, we're going to get it done.
Right. So I'm just like, I'm thrilled. I just actually downloaded a book myself. I'm really anxious to read it. I do have a stack of books because since I do the radio show, I get to know a lot of new authors all the time. So I have stack of books in my Kindle, in my den that I need to get to. But I will do it too, and I will definitely post a review.
Anna, I so appreciate that.
Yeah, and I do. Thank you for coming onto the show and telling us about your book, Love in a Carry-On Bag. That is a very catchy title. And if you guys go on Amazon now, you can bring it up. You can cover. Cover is very nice, very nice. It does stand out for me, in my opinion. So you are on the road to success. And anytime in the future, whenever you have something new or you I don't care if you want to just join a town discussion, always feel free to tune in or call in because we do the show every Tuesday and Thursday. So always keep an ear out or check on Facebook, see who's going to be on it because you can always have the opportunity to call in. But before I do let you go, I do have a couple callers in the queue, and I just want to make sure they don't have questions for you before we move on to our second half. This number is area code 233. I don't know how that area code is working. The number is odd. You on the air if you have a question for Ms. Johnson. Okay. All right. Well, it says 123. I guess the first three numbers will be 309. Okay. All right. And I also have a private line that I'm opening now. If you call them in private, you on the air. Do you have a question for Arthur? Okay, we just have to give our callers an opportunity. Some are shy, so I know you, we want to talk to you. You just called to listen in, but I just want to acknowledge them before I finish out your segment. Next, before we do go, also, do you have any upcoming events or will you be somewhere in the near future signing books where people can come out and meet and greet you?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to meet your listeners. I actually live in New Jersey, so I'm kind of up here touring right now. And so I'm in Hillside, New Jersey on Saturday at the Hillside Library. And 10% of my proceeds are going to be donated back to the library. You guys know our libraries are really in trouble right now. And so my gift to all the libraries is all the ones that I'm going to visit on my book tour, I'm going to donate 10% of my proceeds. So I'm at the Hillside Library this Saturday. I'm down in Maryland next Saturday at the Iverson Mall at the Urban Knowledge Bookstore, and that's March 17th. So if anybody is in the Maryland, D.C. area, please come check me out, Urban Knowledge, 3 to 5 on March 17th. I'm going up to Boston at the end of the month at Frugal Bookstore, and that's going to be March 31st, and I'll be there at 2 o'clock. I'll be back in New Jersey on March 23rd and 24th, and March 26th I'll be at Human Bookstore in New York City at 6:30. I'm on a black marriage panel, which I'm really excited about. My husband and I started our business together. And so we're going to talk a lot about what it's like to work as a married couple in a business, and there are going to be some other married couples in business on the panel, so I'm really excited about that. But if you're interested, please, please go to my website. Again, I'm Sadiqua Johnson, and Sadiqua is S-A-D-E-Q-A. So my website is SadiquaJohnson.com, and anything that you think you need to know about me is on the website. We got video clips. I have all my updates. I have my tour schedule. Everything is on there. You can email me from there. Please absolutely keep in touch, and I want to know what you guys think about the book, Love in a Carry-On Bag. Please pick it up. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, Sadiqua, you know that this episode will be archived, so you can always go back and get the episode. You can go back and listen to it. You can also get the episode, the link, and put on your website. They will be available after the show is over. But we do wish you all the success in the world. Congratulations to you on your debut novel, and I hope that it does well for you. And do not take another 10 years to write your another book.
I know. Well, I'm not having any more children, so I can't blame them this time. So it's totally about me. So, yes, I'm going to have my next book out by spring 2014. I'm claiming it. It's happening. But in the meanwhile, please pick up Love in a Carry-On Bag, available now on Kindle, on Nook. By next week, we'll have it on iBook, and you can pick it up on our website as well. If you just love a good paperback book and you want me to sign it, go to our website. You can get it from SadiquaJohnson.com, but also 12thStreetPress.com, which is 12th Street, 12thStreetPress.com. And I look forward to hearing from you all. Thank you so much, Anna, for having me on the show.
You are very welcome. You have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty, people, y'all heard it. We were just joined by Miss Sadiqua Johnson. The title of her book is Love in a Carry-On Bag. Go ahead and get it. It is on Amazon, especially on my Kindle listeners. I know I have a lot of people that have that trusty handy Kindle. All the Kindle lovers, go ahead and download it today. It's only $9.99 on Amazon, so you guys check her out. We're going to move on to our second half of our show. And I didn't get to talk to my guest prior to the show starting, so I just want to verify. I'm opening up area code 816. I just want to verify who I have on the line before we get started.
This is Fatima Albasir Johnson.
Okay.
Of yes, how are you?
Go ahead. Fatima?
I'm the co-author of a... Hello?
I'm here. I'm sorry. My other phone is too far for me to reach, so hopefully it'll start ringing in a second. I'm so sorry. Let's see.
That's okay.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I am the co-author of A Generation of Curses with Patricia Ann Bridewell. And it's a pleasure to be here. I'm very excited and nervous. This is my first interview. So I am just here and excited and want to get the word out about the book. It will be released the summer of 2012. And, we just want to, you know, promote it and get the word out there. And it's a Christian fiction, very positive and uplifting book.
Well, we're going to get to do that. We're going to get to talk about the book and have our listeners know a little bit more about you as the author as well. And do we have Patricia on the line also or no?
No, not today. Patricia is a professor at a college, and she's at work. So she sends her best, but unfortunately she couldn't make it.
It is quite all right, Patricia. We still will have a good show, and I'm pretty sure you can cover it. I'm pretty sure. So don't be nervous. I know it's your first time online, I guess, or on air with an interview, but it's fairly easy. You heard the process with Ms. Johnson, well, another Ms. Johnson before you, so it's pretty simple, cut and dry. Questions will probably be basically the same, because we still want to know the same information about you as well. And
okay.
I might ask a couple things that you might want to answer on Patricia's behalf, if you don't mind, but just relax. It's all good.
Okay.
It's all good. So before we even get to A Generation of Curses, tell us a little bit about yourself, public know before the author, Fatima?
Well, this is my very first book. I have been married for 7 years to my husband, Damon Johnson. He's a nurse. I am a mother of a 20-year-old, and I also have a grandson. So in my professional life, I was working for several years for a company as a supervisor and, you know, just 9 to 5 in it. And but I knew there was more, something out there, you know, better for me. So I decided to start my own event planning business. Unfortunately, you know, with the turn of the economy, I still, you know, had some bumps in the road, but, you know, I persevered with the help of the good Lord. And so I've been doing it now for 3 years. And actually, Pat is my mother-in-law, and, you know, she kind of talked to me about, you know, she's wrote wrote a couple of books in the past. So she was, you know, familiar with the literary world, and she thought that, you know, maybe I could tell my story. And we decided to co-author this book together. It is a fictional book, so it's nothing based on my life, but some of the events are actual events that have taken place. Oh, no, I was just going to say it was, it hasn't been released, but we're hoping, we're promoting. Like I said, this is my first interview. I hope it won't be my last, but it's been very therapeutic to write the book. It's very enjoyable.
Right. Now, my first question is the title. The title, who came up with the title?
I came up with the title. It was something that was, I think God, you know, just impressed on my heart, you know, and it describes my character, Khadijah's, you know, just kind of hard luck story and kind of how her family kind of struggled and how they persevered. So it was just given to me, you know, God given.
Right. So what made you just say, okay, because before, if this is your first literary work, if it had not been for Patricia, your mother-in-law, would you have thought to sit down and create something like this or to write a book? Have you been writing before this novel?
Well, if I would write things. It was mostly journaling or, you know, just kind of writing my feelings and thoughts down. And my husband read it at the time. You know, we weren't married, and I kind of, you know, was talking to him about it, and he said, you know, you should really think about writing a book, you know, and I laughed it off, you know, because, like I said, I'm very new to the literary world. I've always been an avid reader and enjoyed, you know, all types of literary work. So it was something that I thought was far-fetched. But, you know, the more we discussed it, and he kind of, you know, pushed me, kind of got me out that box, because sometimes it's hard to do, you know, to step out on faith. And I didn't think it was going to come to pass. So, but Pat called me and she said, you know, I got a lady, a good friend of mine, Nicola Mitchell at NCM Publishing, and, you know, she's willing to work with us and, you know, get the book published. So it was like overnight, you know, my dream of, you know, actually having a work of literary work out there was, you know, coming to pass. And I was just, you know, nervous at first, very doubtful. Like you said, it takes, you know, time and you have to dedicate yourself to, you know, finishing. And that's been my challenge. But I'm glad I stepped out and I did it, and I would do it all over again.
I do understand that. And Nicola is awesome. She is a friend of mine. I'm not going to say associate, but she's an author friend of mine. We have did some touring together, so Nicola is awesome. She's doing great things also. And her and my publisher, Newhouse, they're really close friends. So Nicola is a good person to be working with. Definitely.
Yes, she's very knowledgeable, and she has helped me so much.
She is. So I was going to say, so take us in between the pages of A Generation of Curses. Tell us a little bit about your main character and a little bit about what's going on in this story.
Okay, well, it's about Khadijah Hill, and Khadijah is the wife of an assistant pastor, Malcolm Hill, and of a megachurch, the Solid Rock Christian Ministries. And Malcolm is actually in line to take over the position of being senior pastor in this church. And Khadijah, you know, she's involved in the ministry. All of a sudden, her world is kind of turned upside down. Detectives show up at her business. She's an event planner, kind of like myself. And he claims to have evidence that could possibly link her to her ex-boyfriend's murder that took place 10 years ago in her hometown. So, you know, some of the secrets come out, you know, and it kind of casts a shadow over her reputation in the church and the family. And it's just, you know, kind of her struggle to, you know, clear her name, and it just has a lot of twists and turns, but it's definitely Christian fiction, you know. It has a positive ending, and through it all, you know, so it's a good read. I think it's something in it for everybody.
Right. So do any of your characters depict a real life experience, or is this just strictly fiction, all fiction?
No, there are some events that have taken place in my life, and, you know, at first it was really tough to write about because, you know, you're rehashing all that stuff and kind of reliving it. So, but in the end, it turned out to be the best thing that I could have did as far as, you know, getting over some of those, you know, hard you know, stories and memories and, you know, bringing that all back up. It was very therapeutic. So, yes, some of the stuff really happened.
All right. Some of the stuff is not just fiction. It's just, okay, all right. So, are
yeah.
you...
But...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, okay. I was just going to say, I would say it's mostly a work of fiction, so a lot of the stories have been embellished, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is this it for you? Have you decided to say, okay, I want to do writing full-time, or not even just full-time, have you decided to start on a new novel, or do you have any other ideas that you want to start on, or do you have any projects that you're working on now?
I have other projects that I have started working on. They're not completed, and I'm kind of like the author that spoke at first. You know, it takes some time. Life happens in between pages, and so it's something that I have been doing for a while, but like I said, I've never actually thought anything would be published, and I actually started on a book that's more street lit, and just it's been kind of sitting, you know, but I get Generation of Curses, we get it promoted and get it out there, then I think I can focus on that, you know, and give my undivided attention to that.
Right. And I'm liking the cover also. I'm looking at your cover. Your cover is very attractive. What day do you anticipate
Thank
the book
you.
Release in?
We're hoping that it will be released of June 2012, so we're still working, but we are working towards finishing way before that goal and getting the word out there and doing some release parties and press parties and stuff like that and, you know, just kind of getting with the book clubs, anybody that we can, you know, get to listen, you know, or read it, we'll promote it, so. Yeah.
Right. And you started out the right place with AAMBC. Not only do we have the radio show, we also have online advertising where we have our website where we actually promote all African-American authors and basically all genres. So you started at the right place. Tamika is awesome. She really works hard to not only promote us under Delphine, which is our label, but to promote different authors
mm-hmm.
from whether you traditionally publish or self-publish, you know, she really works hard to get the word out there for up-and-coming authors, and even seasoned authors, you know, they still get promoted on the page. Definitely. She does a lot of work. forgive
that. Well, that's wonderful,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing
yeah,
is, too,
I think that's
I know
important,
you...
especially.
Go ahead.
I didn't hear you.
No, I'm good.
I was
going to
say, I think that's awesome because. You... Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. My phone cut out, too. I didn't hear the why what you said. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's great that, you know, you have a place where you guys can promote our work. And like I said, it's important for, you know, literature to get out there, but especially Black literature. And to have somebody that, you know, knows the business and willing to walk you through it is vital. I don't know what I would do without, you know, I've been working with Tamika, so I know Tamika, you know, I've met her. And I just think it's wonderful that, you know, they're willing to help me because, like I said, I never thought I would be an author. It's just like a dream come true. I'm excited. It hasn't sunk in yet. I think once the book is actually in my hand, then I'll probably go crazy, but I'm excited.
Yeah, you will. You will, and I'm telling you like this, Katrina. It's not going to only be your first book. You're going to go crazy every time you put any book in your hand. I'm serious. Tamika just sent me the paperback to Now You Want to Come Back Part 2 like a week ago. Now You Want to Come Back Part 2 is like my fourth book. When I got it, I was like, oh, my God, my baby, I got another book. So
wow.
You're going to feel like that every single time you put something out. That feeling's never going to go away. I don't think it will.
Yeah, I believe you. Yeah, it's almost like giving birth. You know, you're waiting and waiting. It's like all of a sudden your baby's here. So yeah, I'm anticipating that day, and I want to do it not only for myself but for my children and my son. You know, I think it's important that you know they realize, hey, you can do anything you put your mind to.
Right. So. Besides being under Nicholas Publishing House, have you had any other thoughts of maybe self-publishing, or do you have any other goals to go to traditional publisher, or you just want to focus on book one first, let me get past this hump, and then I can look at other options? What do you see for yourself as an author in the future?
I hope that, you know, with this being my first time out, I want to learn as much as I possibly can about the business. I would like to keep, you know, I want to keep writing. I want to put other works of, you know, literature out there. I want to, but as far as publishing, I'm so new with this, you know, that I have a lot to learn. So I don't think I will, you know, step out and self-publish just yet, but hopefully, you know, with the experience I get with Generation of Curses, maybe one day that'll be an option. I'll never say never. You know, I just want to be open to whatever God has for me.
Right, and enjoy the ride. It's a lot of work. At the same time, it's a lot of fun. So you just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Thank you. I hope to, you know, like I said, I'm excited. I never thought something like that I would have an opportunity like this. So I don't want to take it for granted. You know, it's been some setbacks, but, you know, we're still pushing forward. And Pat is such a great mentor. You know, she's the best mother-in-law, but she is really, you know, a hard-working woman. And, I mean, I just hope to have, you know, a little bit of her success. So, you know, I have some great mentors and women just really taking me under my wing, so it's awesome.
Okay, and since Pat couldn't make it, do share with our listeners her other titles, because I'm understanding that this is not Pat's first book. So share with our listeners her other titles.
She has one that she wrote about maybe about 3 years ago. It's called Reflections of a Quiet Storm, and it's also a Christian fiction book, and I know she's done a couple of stories in the Chicken Soup for the Soul, for the Christian Soul, and I think she did another one, so she's constantly writing. I know she's working on another book. I'm not 100% sure when it's going to be released or what the title is, but I know she's you know, been marketing it and trying to get it completed. So she's, you know, she's definitely made her mark on the literary world, and she's really passionate about it. She is really passionate about her work, and it rubs off. It definitely
does. Right. And I understand since the book is not actually out yet, it won't be out until the summer. What methods are you using now to promote? What other methods are you using to promote the book now?
Well, with the help of Nicola, we definitely have kind of, you know, tried to get it out on the social networks. You know, we've done, well, this interview, and then we've done another one. It wasn't quite like this, but we are also planning to do, you know, book parties as well, book release parties, and just kind of sending out information to all the black book clubs or book club spirit, just trying to get our name out there. And, you know, stuff like this really helps us, you know, because it doesn't cost a thing for us to get on Blog Radio and say a little bit. And it's been a challenge, and we're learning, but we're hopeful.
What I do recommend, though, honestly, Fatima, closer to your release date, I know you guys are here in March, but closer to your release date, I definitely would like for you to come back to the show. Right, definitely come back, because in that way we can try to get back on, too, so people can actually, because what happens with some people like myself, like this is a show for March, by February they're not going to, some people might not even start to think about, oh, this book that I heard about back in March. So I would definitely like for you guys to come back when your book release,
okay,
the release date, so we can make sure readers are downloading this book and getting this book. Is it up for free order on any site?
I know that it is on Amazon for pre-order, I do believe. Yeah, it is on Amazon. And I know that, you know, Nicola's going to be talking about other ways to get the book out there. And we're just kind of trying to finish it up and then promote it as much as possible. So we would love to come back, and once we get closer to that date and talk to your listeners, I mean, that would be our pleasure. So thanks so much for that.
Yeah, I wish you guys all the success in the world. I know how exciting it is to have your first book out, but my advice to you is get ready to work hard. It is not an easy thing. It involves a lot of work and to be successful in the literary game, because everybody named Mama got a book now. Everywhere you turn, somebody got a book. It's like,
right,
oh my God, is everybody under some published? It's like, I meet so many authors now, so but we have a whole lot of readers that love to read, thank God. So it's always room for all of
us. Yes,
so,
thank God.
Thank God, yes. So I do want you guys to come back.
Yeah.
Once the book releases, I hope the book does well. I'm sure it will. But definitely, you guys have to come back.
Yeah, we would definitely love to be back. And thank you so much. You have really put me at ease. I was really nervous, but thanks. Yeah, and no, Pat Hate, she missed it. So she will definitely be back with me.
Yeah, it's a pretty much laid-back show. It's not a lot of pressure, and I know real complicated questions. We get straight to the point. But before we close out, team, I want you to make sure you share your website, your publisher's website, and any networks that you're on, like Facebook or Twitter, where readers can follow you and be able to maybe email you or contact you in the future.
Okay. Yes, it's Fatima Albasir Johnson, and you can go to mcmpublishing.com, and of course Nicola has a page with all her authors on there. She's real good about that. But it's just my name, and you can look it up.
All righty. Are you on Twitter? Are you on Facebook?
I am. It's Fatima Al-Basir Johnson.
On
Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, okay.
At let me double check it. I think it's so you just go and I would love to hear from you guys. You know, once the book's out there, we're definitely planning to make sure, you know, we're active and answering all you guys' you know, questions or responding to all your comments. We just want to, you know, get some feedback. Let us know what we're doing wrong or right. We're open to any suggestions. And I just thank you for the opportunity.
Be careful what you say now. People are brutal.
I'm a newbie. I need all the instruction.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you.
What'd you say?
I'll tell you. They are brutal. Oh, my God. When I first got my, I guess I want to say my first negative review, my first one, I was in tears. I was like, you would have thought it was the end of the world. I cannot believe that this person had something so bad to say about my baby. I'm thinking like, this is like calling one of my kids ugly, you know? So be careful.
Right.
There's some thinkers out there. There's some people out there that don't care.
Well, be nice, guys. I'm fragile.
Exactly. Prepare yourself for the good, the bad, and the ugly. But like I say, it's fun.
Right.
It's fun. You're going to enjoy every day of it. It's very fun. Much fun.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait.
I'm
excited.
I can't wait either. I'm excited for
thank
you because I know how it feels. I know how it feels, and it's such an exciting thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. It's such a build-up.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you say?
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, oh, yeah, I agree. It's like the day won't come soon enough.
Yeah.
But before you know it, it'll be here, and we'll be getting feedback, and you'll be hearing from readers to see what they like or dislike about it. But just prepare yourself. Just woosah. Don't let nothing get to you. It is some stinkers out there.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for that advice. And I take it all in and try to store it in my memory bank, and I'll have to say, well, I remember when Anna told me that this was going to happen, so I'm prepared for this. So I appreciate that. Any advice is, you know, a blessing, and I take it, you know, in wholeheartedly, and I'm just here to learn and, you know, hope to be around for a while.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We will get you back on in the future and tell Pat, I'm sorry we missed her, but hopefully we'll have her on in the future, and you guys are welcome back at any time.
Wow, thank you so much.
All right, well, you have a lovely evening, and good luck to you.
Okay, thank you, and you do the same.
All righty. Well, guys, we were just joined by two newcomers to the literary world. We will join our first hour by Miss, I want to make sure I pronounce her name right, it's Dequa Johnson. She is the author of Love in a Handbag. Her book is already available. It is available on Amazon, so you guys go ahead and order it today. And she also, her book is also available on Kindle, so you can download it to your Kindle. So we will join our second half by Ms. Fatima Officer Johnson. She is the co-author of a new book called A Generation of Curses. The book has not been released yet, you guys. It should be coming out this summer sometime, but we will have Patricia and Fatima back on. Actually, it's Patricia A. Brightwell and Fatima Officer Johnson. We will get them back in June, around closer to the time when the book releases. So if you guys forget, no worries. They will be back. And you can also make sure that you know that you can go listen to previous shows. You can go to AAMBC Radio and listen to our archive show, or you can go to our website, which is AAMBC Book Tours. blogspot.com for any information about the authors that we have on the show. And at the very bottom of the page, you can also listen to previous shows that we have had. We will be back on, I believe, will be March the 13th. March 13th will be with Tarada Christian. So make sure you guys tune in for that show. And then after that, I will be out of town for a bit, so we won't come back after that until the 22nd. So make sure you guys tune in on the 13th. And if you do enjoy the show, please share the show with other people so they can get to know our up-and-coming authors as well. And make sure you guys are supporting our African-American authors by leaving reviews, letting other people know if you read a great book by somebody that's new, or even a seasoned author who's been out for a while. But definitely, definitely, definitely leave a review. Word of mouth is key in this industry. So if you know someone that has a great book, definitely tell someone else. And make sure you share the radio show, and we'll see you guys back here on Tuesday, the 13th. Thank you guys for tuning in again, and you guys have a wonderful night.